Have you heard of a fellow by the name of Patrick Henry? After watching some of the celebrations of July 4th on TV last night and some of the questions that they asked the crowd, I'm not sure many people do. But Patrick Henry was a great statesman and orator, one of the founders of our nation 250 years ago. He defended the charter under which the colonies had been established in America. He spoke against the Stamp Act. But his most famous speech was made before the Virginia Assembly in 1775. The British troops were moving in. The colonists were trying to decide what to do. Do we give up? Do we fight for liberty? What do we do? And Patrick Henry said in his speech near the end of it, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains of slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And with those words, the fire of freedom was lit in the hearts of the colonists. Now, in New York Harbor, we saw the Statue of Liberty standing. And those who see it speak about their feelings as it comes into view. They call it the torch of freedom. But for Christians, there's an even greater symbol of freedom. Our symbol of freedom is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross symbolizes the highest and noblest in freedom and liberty. And like the Statue of Liberty, it stands as a spiritual symbol of a liberated people, set free from sin by the great love and grace of God. You know, the words of Patrick Henry in his speech echo back to the words of Joshua in Joshua 24 and verse 14, when he said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua says, "I choose to serve liberty. I choose to serve God. I choose to follow him." And just as those then had to decide when Joshua said that, so we too are given the choice of accepting or rejecting the freedom that God offers to us. Just as the challenge of Joshua required the people to lay down their lives, they had to fight for that promised land, so our spiritual freedom requires that we too be willing to lay down our lives, our plans, our ambitions, in order to obtain the better promises that God has offered us. You see, the cross wasn't set forth because we were already free. The cross was set forth to give us freedom. Christ had to die on that cross to set us free, to make us truly free from sin and guilt and eternal condemnation. The question is, are we going to take hold of the offer? Jesus said in John 8, verse 30, 31, 32, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." A lot of people say, well, the truth will set you free. What is the truth? The truth is what Jesus says. If you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, because his teaching are truth. And verse 36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You see, Jesus came as our deliverer, the one who would set us free from our selfish desires that held us shackled by sin, and bring us the better free life that our Father wants us to live. You know, Paul points out that even creation itself was affected by sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, it wasn't just the people that started to die. Creation itself began to run down. Romans 8, verse 20, "For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of Christ." You see, God's not only going to forgive our sins, give us the promise of heaven, he's going to clean up all of this mess that we have in our world. Why is our world so messed up today? Because of sin. but God has made a way for us to get free. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6:3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly be united in a resurrection like his. For we know our old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. You see, when we become a Christian, we're set free from sin. We get a new life. We're born again, in a sense. And Paul points out later in that chapter, in Romans 6:17, about how this works. He said, thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you've come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that now claims your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You see, when we obeyed Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in baptism, when we reenacted that in our baptism, we gained freedom from sin. We gained the true liberty that God offers. And Jesus died on the cross not just to set us free from our past sins, from the things that we did wrong in the past. He set us free from our present sins, the things that are going on right now in our life. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You see, he didn't die on the cross so we could keep living the same way we always did. He died on the cross so that we could be changed, so that we could be transformed, so that we could live life for him now. Paul told Titus in Titus 2:11, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, ungodly lives in this present age. When we became a Christian, we received the Holy Spirit to help us say no to the things that this world says, well, you have to do that. Everybody else is doing it. We have a choice. We are set free. We have liberty. We don't have to be like everybody else. We don't have to do what everybody else does just because they do it. Just because it's what the common thing is, what the latest poll says. We are set free. You know, the old Mosaic law, the law of Moses, was important. But as Christians, we need to understand that we're under a new covenant now. Hebrews 9:15, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called might receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. You see, Christ is our mediator now. Christ is the one we're responsible to now. Under the old law of Moses, you had to go to the high priest. You had to go to the priesthood. You had to go to the tabernacle. Now we go through Jesus Christ. He has set us free from those things that were under the old covenant, under that first covenant. Did you know that there were 613 commands in the first five books of the Old Testament? 613 of them that the people had to keep if they were going to be right with God. 248 of them were positive, which said, make sure you do this, or do this, do that. 365 were negative, don't do that. Avoid this. 613. Colossians 2:14, having canceled the written code which was against us and stood opposed to us, Jesus took it away, nailing it to the cross. Why is it so important that Jesus took away the Old Testament law? We can't even remember what all 613 commands were, let alone keep them. How could we possibly keep all the commands and be right with God when we can't even remember what they are? But you see, Jesus took all that away. He made a new way for us. He gives us liberty in a different way now. We live in love and gratitude for the liberty that Christ has given us. We have freedom from the fear of condemnation for not living up to all those requirements of the old law. In Colossians 2:14, it says it was opposed to us. We couldn't do it. And because we couldn't do it, God said, I'm going to give them something better. I'm going to give them my son to pay the price so that they can be forgiven. You see, we don't want to go back to the old law. As the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 7, verse 12, when there's a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change in the law. Jesus is now the one in charge. And since he's our mediator now, he's our high priest, we don't follow the Old Testament laws anymore. There has to be a new covenant. When Jesus took over, he had to establish a new covenant between God and the people. And that's what he did through his blood shed on the cross. In Galatians 5, verses 1 and 4, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, fallen from grace. If you try to go back and say, well, I'm just going to keep all the commands of the Old Testament. God said, do this, do that. I'm going to do this, do that. You can't keep them all. You can't even remember them all. And if you miss one, it's like you violated all of them. Christ has set us free from that. And yet we find people want to go back and try to do that again. And in verse 9, we're told, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Some people want to go back and be enslaved by the Old Testament laws. They want to try to keep the things they did then. Follow a set of rules. Instead of accepting the grace and the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. They want to say, I can do things myself. I can live my life righteous enough for God. I can do enough good things. God says, no, you can't. You can't even remember what you're supposed to do. How can you possibly do enough good things? But I've given you a way to be forgiven. I've given you a way to earn salvation by following Jesus Christ, by letting his righteousness become your righteousness. But you see, if we reject that, we're rejecting Jesus. We're told in Hebrews 10, verse 28, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who's treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? If God said, I'm going to give you something better through Jesus, and you say, no, thank you, I don't want it. I can do it myself. How much more severe punishment do you think you're going to receive? If those who didn't want to follow the law of Moses were stoned to death, were killed, then what do you think you deserve if you reject the better way that God has made? You see, when Jesus began his ministry, he found a divided Jewish religion. The Jews were divided into all different kinds of groups and sects. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots, and the various sects were divided by what they interpreted the scriptures to mean rather than what the scriptures really meant. Everybody had the same scriptures, but when they read them, the Pharisees said, well, here's what God meant by this. The Sadducees said, no, here's what he meant by that. The Zealots said, here's what he meant. And everybody had their own interpretation, even though it all said the same thing. They followed their interpretation instead of what the scriptures actually said. And we see the same problem in religions today. People follow their interpretations of what the scripture says instead of just doing what it actually says. People follow their own ideas. As Jesus said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are rules taught by men. They're just making up their own ideas. They're not doing what I told them to do. You see, having God's liberty doesn't mean that we get to make our own rules. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, Jeremiah writes, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It's not for man to direct his own steps. That means that we don't get to choose what church we like. We don't get to choose what preacher we like. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul writes, now, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so you might learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what's written. Don't interpret things, just take what he said. Then you'll not take pride in one man over another. It doesn't matter who's doing the preaching. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what the Word says, what the Bible says, and whether we're following it or not. You see, we don't get to call a conference. We don't get to call a meeting. We don't get to call a synod and decide what the church should teach or what they should accept. God has already decided that. He's written it down in His Word for us, and He confirmed it with the blood of Christ. As John said in 2 John verse 9, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. But whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and Son. If we go beyond what the Bible says and we say, well, here's what God really meant by that, and put our own interpretation on it, we're going beyond what the Bible says. And we've lost God. We've lost Jesus. We need to stick with the Scriptures so that we have both. You see, remember, we didn't set ourselves free. God made provision for us to be saved by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Romans 3, verse 22, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. You see, God made the provision for our lives, provided by the blood of Jesus on that cross. And it's that blood that removes sin and gives us freedom. Freedom from the worry of intentional sin in our lives. You ever hear anybody say something like, well, yeah, I'm just chewing and I keep messing up. Yeah, I was baptized. I became a Christian. But, you know, it's hard living a Christian life. And I keep messing up. Oh, I don't mean to. I'm trying to live right, but I keep messing up. Is God going to forgive me? Look at Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life set me free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. What's he talking about? That I can do anything I want now and I won't be condemned? No, he's talking about that unintentional sin. We can live every day as a Christian without fear of condemnation for the unintentional mistakes that we make. That surprises a lot of people. Well, you mean if I'm trying to live right and I mess up, God will forgive me? Yes. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness and you're forgiven. He's promised us that. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Scriptures say. 1 John 1. Verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. All He wants us to do is walk in the light, and we'll be purified from sin. But what does it mean to walk in the light, Jesus? Simply make the effort to follow the Scriptures in everything that we do. Be fully committed to doing what He has asked us to do, and if we do that, then even if we do make an unintentional mistake, even if we do mess up, His blood will wash away those sins that we commit. Romans 4, verse 7, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against them. You see, that's true freedom. People want to talk about freedom. They wanted to talk last night in all of these speeches they made about the freedom that we have. Well, Christ has given us freedom much greater than what we have here. He's given us freedom, and it's in the hearts and minds of those who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. So give me liberty or give me death. As Christians, we've chosen liberty. But those who reject that liberty, who reject Jesus, face certain eternal death and hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, John 14, 6. And in John 3, 36, we're told, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus is the only way to be set free. People try all kinds of things. If I just had this, if I just had that, if I just had enough of this, if I just had enough money, if I just had enough friends, if I just had enough power, that's not going to make you free. Only Christ can set you free. Paul knew the security and peace of what it really meant to be set free. That's why he said in 2 Timothy 1:12, that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed because I know whom I've believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted him to that day. Paul said, I know Jesus. I know that he means what he says and that he'll do exactly what he said, and I trust him. Do you have that security? Have you accepted the price paid for you on the cross by obeying the commands of scriptures? Do you believe that Jesus is God's son? Jesus said, I told you, you die in your sins if you don't believe that I am he. You'll indeed die in your sins. If you don't accept Jesus, there is no other way. We must repent of those sins because those sins caused Jesus to have to pay the price on the cross for us. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'd all too perish. We must confess our faith and trust in him. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And we must be baptized, immersed in water to gain the forgiveness of our sins, washing them away in the blood of Jesus. And in doing so, we find freedom. We find liberty of Christ. As Paul told those on the day of Pentecost who said, what should we do? In verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Won't you come this morning? Come to freedom. Choose liberty today. The choice is there. As he said, I don't know what others are going to choose, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I choose liberty. What will you choose this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song?